So welcome to Melbourne. It's a Thursday evening here in early March. I'm here at the Prostic Preceptorship. This is a biannual meeting of PSMA Theranostics run by the Prostate Cancer Centre of Excellence at Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre. So this is the drinks reception here on Thursday evening. Delegates are gathering on the eve of the meeting. There's already been some pre-meeting sessions at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre, but we're now in downtown Melbourne at the Ridges Hotel, where the main conference will be held for the next couple of days. So we're going to be bringing you some highlights from the Prostic Preceptorship. So any of you interested in PSMA imaging and especially theranostics for prostate cancer will hopefully enjoy hearing us chat to some of the experts and indeed some of the delegates who've gathered from around the world to learn a bit more about PSMA theranostics. Let's go and see who we can find. To Melbourne.
First time, I'm super excited. I missed the Australian Open, so.
You'll have to come back again. So it's really good to welcome my friend Ken Herrmann here. He's a nuclear medicine physician from Essen in Germany, where my very good friend Boris Hadaschek, urologist, works with you very closely. And Boris was here with us recently in Melbourne, came on GUcast, did a great podcast as well. And for a long, long time, we've talked about the way urologists and nuclear medicine physicians work closely together. And the way you work with my friend Boris is almost a classic example for me of how urology and nuclear medicine can work together on this common shared interest of prostate cancer. So welcome. It's great to have you at the Prostic meeting.
I'm very happy to be here. It's indeed, Boris still raves about his trip to Melbourne. I just sent a picture to him with Michael and Renu, and he was very jealous. And actually, we always joke around. We always say we try to be as popular and as famous as Declan and Michael in Australia, to be the European version of Declan and Michael.
So look, it's great to see you, and you're a friend of the podcast. You've been on a few times in the past, but you're here for the Prostic meeting as one of our international faculty. So can you tell me a little bit about what you're looking forward to in the next couple of days here?
I mean, there are a couple of things. I think it's, first of all, I think the Prostic initiative is something absolutely outstanding, bringing together all the different people, training all the different specialties, and also reaching out. Today was a consumer meeting. You call it consumer meeting. For us, it really makes patient involvement, yep, training of nurses. I think it's absolutely fantastic. For us, and I'm not very serious about this, this is a benchmark for us. And that's why I'm very excited to be here to see. And I always believe, you know, there's a nice saying from Pablo Picasso, who just said that good artists try to reinvent themselves, expert artists copy. And this is what I'm doing. I try to be an expert artist. I'm trying to copy a little bit.
Enough of this nonsense. You're far too modest. We all know that this whole field of prostate cancer theranostics came from Germany, came from pioneers in Germany. And I know you have a huge volume center, but nice of you to make the nice comments. But I know while you're down here, we want to know what is coming next in theranostics. And I know you have, actually, you have some strategic grants between Melbourne, US, and Essen. But, you know, can you look 1, 2, 5 years into the future and tell us what will prostate cancer, what will be getting us excited about prostate cancer theranostics then? What will we be talking about on a practical level in 2, 5 years' time?
It's an excellent question. There are different layers to this. First of all, you mentioned technical grant. I think it's very important to mention. It's great support by PCF, where we really try to drive the next wave of prostate cancer therapy. In this case, really trying to expand to a new array nuclide. In this case, really looking at lead. Lead 212 is an alpha emitter, has a very short half-life, gives up or goes along with a couple of potential upsides, but also downsides. I believe in the upsides, so we can change the dosing, we can change the sequencing. But of course, this always sounds very nice in theory, but we have now to do the work preclinically and clinically to really show that there's potential added value. It's one thing. The second thing is, I'm very grateful there are always different talks, and Michael asked me not to talk about staging of prostate cancer for the 25th time, but he actually gave me the opportunity to talk about new targets in prostate cancer. And to be honest, there are a couple of new targets, right? We talk about HK2 or Kallikrein 3, which is a very promising target currently in clinical translation with Janssen. Then, of course, GPR, the gastrin-releasing peptide receptor, quite interesting, especially in PSMA-negative patients. We talk about FAP. FAP might also potentially play a role. Then we talk about neuroendocrine prostate cancer patients. Some people hope that DL3 might play a role there. Overall, you know also, and I'm not going to disclose which target, but Peter Mac is also working on a very innovative target, potentially, especially in the subgroup of neuroendocrine differentiated prostate cancer. So I think there's a lot of movement in the field. In addition to this, and we mentioned this before, we have the good chance to expand our collaboration in urology and nuclear medicine beyond prostate. I think kidney is going to be one, CA9. There's a very, I think, very nice imaging compound, girentuximab circle, with zirconium 89 labeled, very exciting prospective phase 3 data. There are a couple of other compounds. The first in human paper was recently published by Peter Meck with the Debiofarm compound in CA9. I think this is something which shows us diagnostically for sure, therapeutically hopefully as well. And then, of course, bladder cancer. I think there are a couple of very nice targets in bladder cancer as well. So I think that when we talk about theranostics, if you just focus on what we can do together in GU, I think we have a lot of work to do. And then, of course, breast cancer, colorectal cancer. I think if we do this as good as we have done this in prostate cancer, we should not be worried about our job.
It's just amazing. You know, I'm almost breathless listening to him list out that reel of exciting opportunities that are ahead in theranostics in GU. And it's very true. You know, you think back to 10 years ago, Ken, when theranostics didn't exist in prostate cancer, really, at the start of it. And, you know, I just think the world is a much more exciting place for the fact that there's been so much progress so far. And it still feels, just like you said, that we're just at the very start of the theranostics revolution in GU oncology, certainly prostate cancer. And I'm really, really excited to hear about the new targets and the combinations and so on. So that's a key part of this meeting. And thank you very much for coming down.
And to make one more compliment, Declan, is because you said... you know, theranostics is only a success because urology was ready for it. And I want to thank you as a representative of urology that you let us be at the table. To discuss with you as nuclear medicine, accepted at eye level, I think it's very important. It will be much more complicated for breast cancer. It will be much more complicated for colorectal cancer. That's why, Declan, thank you very much.
Very good. A big love in here between nuclear medicine and urology. Let's go and have a beer.
Thank you.
So, David, I've tracked down a couple of delegates who are here at the meeting. What's your name?
Hello, I'm Jamila Gomez from Manila.
I'm Maria Gomez, also from Manila, but we're not related, even if we have the same surname.
So what do you do, Jamila, and why are you at the prostate meeting?
Well, it's my first time in this prostate meeting, and I'm a doctor of nuclear medicine, and I'm here for theranostics. I have lutetium therapy patients, and it's really for their benefit. That's why I'm here.
And I remember I met you at Peter Mac last year. You came and spent some time with Michael Hoffman and the team here, didn't you, before you went back to Manila?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a lovely experience. It's an amazing experience.
So can you tell us a little bit about theranostics in Manila? Are there prostate cancer theranostics programs getting up and running? I have lots of good friends in Manila, as you know, and there's a lot of prostate cancer up there.
Correct. Well, as we all know, as with Asian countries, it's more of the cost that's the limiting factor. Yeah. But indeed, I think more than 200 cases have been given of lutetium therapy.
Oh, wow, already?
Yeah. Yes,
and
correct.
Where? In Manila, presumably?
Well, St. St. Luke's and soon in National Kidney and Transplant and other centers.
Are getting going. I think this is very exciting because this preceptorship is designed to help programs that are just getting going really take your program to the next level, you know, the logistics, getting the patient selection. And what about you, Maria? What do you do and why are you here at this meeting?
So I'm a nuclear radiologist. Yeah. I work with two private hospitals and then one academic institution.
In Manila?
The academic institution is south of Manila.
Yeah.
So I'm here. We're planning to set up theranostics in our two centers. So I'm here to benchmark and to learn about what else we can offer the patients.
And I think the other thing is you do build good linkages now that physical meetings are back and you can speak to all the people who are key radiopharmacists, chemists, nuclear medicine technicians, specialists who are experienced in theranostics. So I hope over the next few days you really benefit from that and you can really grow your programs back home in Manila.
I'm sure we will.
Yes, sure. Yes.
Great. Have a great couple of days.
Thank you for having us.
So look who's turned up here at the Prostate Preceptorship. None other than our favorite U.S. visitor, Howard Sewell, the Chief Scientific Officer of the PCF. Howard, lovely to see you back in Melbourne.
Well, Declan, you're too kind, and I love being here in Melbourne.
Well, we love having you here, and you have very strong links for all sorts of reasons, but especially for this preceptorship, we're at the Prostate Preceptorship, because it was through your real vision to enable a center of excellence at Peter MacCallum Cancer Center that Prostate even exists. I remember that seeing the email from you when you were flying back to the U.S. saying, you know, we'll get some if you get more, and out of that vision and that kickstart, this is now in its kind of second round of funding with the tactical grant as well. So we love having you back here to keep an eye on us.
I appreciate that, but I have to make one thing completely clear.
Yeah.
We don't give money. People compete for our money.
Yeah.
And your team, Michael Hoffman and all the rest, the medical oncologist, Shanine Sandhu, every penny they've received, they have viciously competed for. And it's because of the greatness of this center of excellence and really the global leadership of Theranostics that we are so proud to be funders.
Thank you so much. And you've been there from the very start with Theranostics as well, and continue to be. So we have a number of PCF young investigators here at the meeting.
We do.
And boy, is that competitive, we all know. And when you get a PCF young investigator grant, you know that you really have done something
it's
special.
It's like an Academy Award of sorts.
It sure is. It kind of is. It's amazing.
And it's a cohort of people that they can be proud of, and we give them community and all kinds of support. So the money is one thing, but the support we give them is what's really special about it.
So what I want to ask you about is, of course, PSMA Theranostics is pretty much mainstream now for men with very advanced cancer, but it's a really exciting area, isn't it? That's what this meeting is about. It's a bit, for people like me, I want to see, what do these experts tell us about what's coming next? Where is Theranostics going? What new agents? What combinations? How do we select patients better? You know, you're very good at spotting these things in prostate cancer. What excites you about the future of Theranostics? Things you pick up from listening to speakers at this meeting?
Two words, Declan. Atoms and targets, both of which are being prosecuted in the labs at Peter Mac. We need new targets. PSMA is great. It has its limitations. And we would be so pleased to see a new target actually become pan-cancer. So FAPI, for example, may not work in prostate cancer, but it sure could be interesting in about 11 other cancers.
It sure could.
GPC3, you name it. You know, TROP2. These are all new targets that Peter Mac is looking at, plus the fact that, you know, the alpha, the age of alpha is coming.
It is definitely coming.
So we're going to have little atom bombs attacking cancer. The punching, you know, the little mice that punch today with lutetium is a great start. Got to start somewhere. But the end game is going to be little A-bombs.
I totally agree. I think we're only at the start of this journey.
We are.
And I think what's been fabulous about lutetium, not just that it has made a difference, of course, to many of our patients, thankfully, continues to, but it's kind of shone the searchlight of that whole nuclear medicine industry. All these amazingly talented people, these physicists and radiochemists who are working in laboratories, tweaking peptides, their focus is now big time switched into prostate cancer.
Time.
And the funding's coming in, industry's coming in. So that's why I think you're right. We're at the start. Targets, atoms. Because these very smart people who, up until 10 years ago, really were not looking very much at prostate cancer.
Well, the whole field of nuclear medicine was... I discovered it for the first time in the sub-basement of UCLA.
Yeah, and you told me about that story.
Rob Ryder, the urologist. Where are you getting this PSMA PET scan material from?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, well, you should see this department. And I went over, met Professor Cernan, and saw this just labs. Yeah. And now they have their own center for Theranostics and a full-time nuclear medicine physician in the Department of Urology at UCLA. So, it's early days, but the days are very good.
That's the message. And we really value on GUCast our relationship with PCF. It's not just about Peter Mac, because as regular viewers and listeners know, they also run some great educational activities. We'll give a big shout out for the PCF Global Webinars. We've done 6 or 7 of them over the last 4 years as a collaboration with GUCast and Peter Mac and others. So thank you, Howard, for all of that and for your fabulous support for this industry. Good to see you.
Welcome.
So I've managed to track down a couple of eminent international medical oncologists. It's not just nuclear medicine specialists at this prostate meeting this year. Welcome, David Olmos.
Thank you very much, Declan.
And we're joined by your colleague, Daniel Castellanto. Daniel, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And another of your colleagues, nuclear medicine physician.
Yes. Adolfo, nice to meet you.
Great to see you, Adolfo. Yeah. And thank you for coming to Peter Mac this week, the three of you as well. So we have a nuclear medicine physician and two specialist GU medical oncologists here. So can I ask you guys first, medical oncologists, why are you at this Theranostics meeting down the other end of the world from Spain?
I think that essentially Theranostics is changing our practice that is going to have so much impact in the next years that we have just come to follow your lead, guys. You are leading this field from Australia.
Well, very kind of you to say so, but as you can tell from the international faculty, of course, David, many of the pioneers, of course, are from you know, other parts of Europe, Germany, especially South Africa. And but I agree with you. It is very important for me as a surgeon that we learn from our nuclear medicine colleagues. What do you think, Daniel?
I think so, that this radiolarian therapy is probably the new opportunity to treat patients in prostate cancer. And probably it's the new target therapy open the window to the new era of new target for this disease. And this prostate procedure probably is a good example to design and develop of new data, new results in radioligand therapy.
I agree with you, because when we go to normal GU oncology meetings or so on, it's still very much about lutetium, PSMA, and certain applications. But you come to a meeting like this, and you're hearing these physicists and these pioneers, and they've left all that behind almost already. So I think we're only at the start of this whole business, certainly in prostate cancer, David.
Yes, and it's amazing how much data people are sharing, that data that are not published. So they are really, they are disseminating the knowledge and sharing, like at the true scientific community has to do, no? So it's really amazing the work that is done here.
And you're not frightened by it. I mean, you're not really down here just to keep an eye on them and make sure they don't put people like you and me out of business, these clever nuclear medicine physicians.
Not really. I always follow what my mentors in MarsMD did, is that if the people that are around you grow, you can grow with them.
So. You can grow with them, exactly. So, Adolfo, are you enjoying this meeting in Melbourne? I mean, you're already a nuclear medicine physician. You know a lot about this stuff.
Yes, of course. It's a great city and a great organization, and it's a great opportunity for us, because we just start treat the patients with lutetium.
Yeah, in your center.
Yes, in many hospitals in our country, only inside the clinical trials, but just starting routine.
Yeah,
and it's an amazing opportunity to see other option. Opportunity to start with actinium or alpha therapies. It's a great meeting. Thank you for...
Look, one of the things I like about this meeting is it's sort of to enable people to develop a theranostics program and grow it or make it better or more efficient. So there's a lot of lectures from physicists and chemists and nurses and so on. But of course, it's really difficult to come all the way to Melbourne for that type of meeting. And Michael Hoffman just said to me that all these lectures are being videoed, and we're going to put them all on YouTube and just make them freely available. So do you think many of the lectures you've seen here this week will be of help in your theranostic center as you try and grow it and develop it and do research within it?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes, of course. Because this is new for all world, and probably you are the starter, and the rest of the world follow you. No, it's true. And we develop, for example, a new therapy area in our department in nuclear medicine in Madrid. And
we are involved in
the physical new infrastructure.
Yes, the program of development of new radioligand therapy. No?
You're not just closing down the day oncology beds because you don't need them anymore, because they're taking over, are they?
Yes.
No, look, so it's great, and I must say I've really enjoyed the conversations with people to learn what's going on in your country, how are you doing training, what's the reimbursement situation, what's the trial situation, and I hear all these lovely conversations going on, so that's the beauty of physically coming, I think, is you do get a lot of knowledge from these conversations, David.
Of course, it's the lectures are great, but also it's great the interaction, the opportunity to discuss and get experience and get direct feedback for your question with the people that is doing one thing or other, the people that have more expertise on you. So that is the great thing about coming to the conference, not just the lecture, it's the interaction.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we should see more of that. And the meetings we normally go to, GU oncology meetings, we're now seeing the nuclear medicine community really turning up in droves. So it's working both ways, and I look forward to that. I think we're only at the start of this whole theranostic wave in prostate cancer, maybe in kidney cancer as well, by the sound of it. And it's really great to have these multidisciplinary international colleagues all enjoying prostate. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting us to participate in the MGT union.
That was a great experience, having being how you manage in the daily basis, the cases, and having the decision, having that feeling of the how the decisions are taking is right.
Thank you for that. These guys flew in very late on Wednesday night, very jet lagged, and 7 o'clock in the morning they were in the cancer center for the MDT meeting. But I really enjoy MDT process. But let me tell you, since COVID is finished, we're very fortunate that international guests are now coming to Melbourne, and we love, you know, if we know someone's coming like yourself, can you please come Thursday morning, every Thursday morning, because the exchanges are really, really helpful. You know, to say what would you do in Madrid, or especially people with a lot of expertise in advanced diagnostics and precision oncology. So we've really enjoyed having you down, I must say, as well. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Congratulations.
So I'm catching up with two of our international friends here at the prostate meeting. Barbara Hertz, welcome to Melbourne.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. And Mike Sathagi, welcome.
Declan, thank you so kindly for having us here. Really, it's a pleasure.
So, Mike, you're a nuclear medicine physician at the University of Pretoria. So it makes sense that you're here. You're a nuclear medicine expert, and we welcome you.
Good things.
Now, why are you here, Barbara Hertz?
I'm here to honor my father, Dr. Saul Hertz, who discovered the medical uses of radioactive iodine back in the 1930s without a computer. And in less than 5 years.
So Barbara's dad is the true father of nuclear medicine, universally acknowledged, I think.
I hope so. Yeah. We've had to work on it for a while, and this is one of our superstars here, in that he, from the very get-go, established a Saul Hertz Young Investigator Award, and every time he does a presentation, he gives honor to Dr. Hertz.
I think I saw his picture up on your opening slide already today.
I think it is appropriate that we really give Dr. Hertz the honor that he deserves. Otherwise, this precision oncology that we're speaking about wouldn't be possible.
It wouldn't even exist.
I mean, the man was a visionary, honestly. Using the molecule to diagnose and treat is the way to go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, indeed, as we really know that many cancers are resistant to various things, but radiation, it's something that they can't evade for long, and hence this is why we are here.
And Barbara, so we're honoring him as well here. Our final session this afternoon is the Saul Hertz lecture. It's a whole session dedicated to him, and Howard Sewell will deliver the Saul Hertz lecture. But you've devoted quite a lot of your own lifetime to drawing attention to his work as well, and we see his name recognized everywhere because
only recently.
That's true, because it's been controversial, of course.
And it happened only because my mother saved all his papers and books and an assortment of materials that he that are the primary sources to record the history.
Because it's true to say that this is a very well-known case of academic fraud, I'm afraid, back in the 1930s and 40s when his original work was actually stolen. It's been well documented, and so I think in recent years history has certainly righted it, but it's still very important that we understand.
There were a lot of undercurrents at the time. There was a world war that interrupted his clinical studies. There was the stolen intellectual property, and there were other impediments to his progress. And then the history got very distorted.
And I would encourage you, if you want to go and read a bit more, it's all out there. Look up Saul Hertz. But we're so pleased to have you here as we introduce the Saul Hertz session and the lecture to be delivered this afternoon. And hopefully you yourself will find that this large meeting is appropriately turning such a nice focus on your father's pioneering
very
work.
Appreciative.
It's great. Now, Mike, while I have you just for a moment as well, one of your talks today was about the future of theranostics. And we all know you, of course, from being already very experienced with alpha particles in radioligand therapy and prostate cancer. And here at this meeting, it seems to me people are still very, very excited about alphas. We're only at the start of the alpha story.
Indeed. I mean, probably like how Dr. Head started, I mean, there will be some resistance to alphas, but I do think that it's inevitable that alphas and betas will coexist, and then the alphas definitely are going to resolve the issues where betas cannot go, but the two must coexist, and the alphas clearly are going to also help us to actually work even closer with the medical oncologist and the radiation oncologist, because by virtue of the fact that they impart high linear energy transfer and they travel a short distance, then that allows us to have a combination, because sometimes the betas, because of the long traveling, can actually perhaps add to the side effects. So the alphas a big advantage, big energy, but yet traveling a short distance. So combination therapy is going to be really enabled and be real because of the alpha cycle.
So you've summarized it. High energy, going to kill cancer. Short distance, should be less morbidity.
Yes.
But just in summary, briefly, casual listeners and viewers to the podcast will understand, hang on, what about the alphas? Don't they wipe out the salivary glands and do stuff like that?
Indeed, it is highly potent. The alphas are highly potent, and clearly then will also be potent to the non-target tissues. But there is great work that is happening to actually resolve this so that there's less circulation at the time of therapy, therefore sparing the salivary glands.
So we're going to see that.
We're going to see that.
We're just at the start of it. So we're here with Barbara Hertz at the extreme start of the whole industry of radioligand therapy from the 1930s, honoring your great father, Saul. And here we are, a glimpse into the future with Mike Sathekge. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so kindly.
So I'm here with Dr. Yao Zhu, my good friend from Fudan University Shanghai Cancer Center in Shanghai. Thank you very much for coming all the way down to Melbourne.
Hi, Declan. Glad to meet you here. It's a very nice weather and a very nice place to have this fantastic meeting.
So it's the eve of the prostate meeting here in Melbourne. Our Prostate Cancer Center of Excellence at Peter MacCallum Cancer Center is running our second preceptorship. It's a real practical approach to PSMA theranostics in particular for prostate cancer. And that's the main reason you've come down here, really. You and your center in Fudan University Shanghai Cancer Center have a lot of interest, not just in prostate cancer, but you are interested in PSMA imaging and theranostics. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a long history and the collaboration with your center, and we have learned a lot from your practice. And I think the most amazing point of PSMA staging is that we can provide not only the detection rate, but also about how to treat these patients. And in the morning, I have joined your MDT team discussing, and I see how the nuclear medicine and the new imaging incorporate in our clinical practice. And I think it's most important for our doctor to improve our patient's outcome. It's really amazing.
And what is the current situation now in March 2024 with PSMA theranostics? Is there access to lutetium PSMA in China, in your center, for example?
I think the lutetium PSMA is still underwent clinical trial in mainland of China, and we have some preliminary results with a very promising response of our patients, and we are looking forward to follow your pathway to move this kind of treatment forward and to application mostly in the HSPC patients.
And the other reason you're down here, Zhu, is GUCAST is now expanding to have a bigger footprint in China. And we've appointed you. Thank you for accepting our invitation to be our China editor for GUCAST. And while you're here, we've brought you out to the studio and we've recorded the first of our special themed episodes. So do you think podcasting is a popular way for the Chinese urology and oncology community to learn about new techniques and have some knowledge translation? Is podcasting a popular thing?
Yeah, I think the main goal of the medical education is trying to broadcast as wide as possible and as fast as possible. And I think GUCAST is the leading role in this area. And I'm very honored to be the Chinese editor to broadcast GUCAST in a more audience of our Chinese colleagues. And I think with your lead, we can produce more interesting and more cutting-edge knowledge to our colleagues, and it will result in a better patient outcome in the near future.
Well,
thank you.
I certainly hope, and thank you so much for joining us. And this podcast at the prostate meeting here in Melbourne will be for those of you who are interested in PSMA theranostics. We'll be chatting to a few other experts in this field, many experts actually from around the world. I can't believe how many are here. And hopefully we can bring you some highlights for those of you interested in PSMA theranostics. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I've tracked down two delegates at this meeting. You're a well-known friend of the podcast. Actually, you both are friends of the podcast. Professor Louise Emmett, nuclear medicine physician from St. Vincent's and Darlinghurst. Welcome back to the podcast, Louise.
Oh, thanks so much.
And welcome to Melbourne for prostate.
Amazing to be here. Thrilled to be here.
It's great to see you here. And now, Dr. Ed Kwan, you've been a friend of the podcast. I remember last year you helped put together the ASCO GU highlights.
Right. Yeah. This is my cameo role.
You co-hosted.
Invited me back on after Renu and I did a wonderful podcast guest appearance back in PCF a couple of years ago.
It was a cracking episode. I enjoyed it because I wasn't there, so I really enjoyed listening to your commentary. Now, I didn't introduce your affiliation. I can tell you he is a medical oncologist. I can't tell you where he works because I'm not sure. Are you kind of between jobs? You're one of these people who keeps doing fellowships. You're already so highly trained, but You've been away.
I think I'm really testing my wife's patience quite
a
lot.
You really must be testing your wife's patience.
Yeah, she keeps telling me it's time to make some money.
Yeah, exactly. Stop training.
So I am coming back to Australia. I'm currently in Canada at the moment, and I've escaped the Canadian winter to be in lovely Melbourne.
But he's been doing some amazing work on Australian data, huh?
Yeah, that's right. So will you tell us a little bit about that? What have you been doing? And also tell us, if you don't mind, when are you coming back, or what's roughly going to be the setup, if you can?
Yeah, absolutely, Declan. So I was through a lot of the work that we've been doing through ANZUP. I've been very lucky to be a part of multiple theranostic projects looking at circulating tumor DNA. And my main sort of focus at the moment is actually the therapy study, which is Michael Hoffman's study. Very practice-changing data.
On the translational aspects.
That's right, on the translational aspects, Declan, looking at sort of the prognostic and predictive biomarkers
ctDNA.
So as opposed to the imaging biomarkers, this is going back to...
So the super nice thing is looking at both of them together.
Yeah.
So looking at the composite of imaging and genetics to see what we can really find.
So during the study, can you just remind us, so the therapy study, which was published a couple of years ago, a multi-center randomized trial comparing lutetium PSMA against cabazitaxel, very active comparator in progressive MCRPC, which was one of the two trials, Vision being the other, that really, you know, established lutetium. So what samples were collected in these positive studies?
Yeah, so through the foresight of the Translational Research Subcommittee for therapy and for ANZUP, they decided to take baseline and on treatment as well as progression samples, typically a biochemical or radiographic progression. So that really gives us a very unique opportunity to look at baseline genomics, see how that correlates with outcomes, and to better understand resistance mechanisms as well.
And to see the differences between the control arm and the intervention arm and so on.
I think that's the unique part, Declan. You know, I think really there's been a lot of studies looking at these genomic biomarkers, but really therapy is really the only study that's very well placed at the moment to answer having a control arm, a standard of care cabazitaxel control arm. And obviously there's many other studies, including Louise's ENZA-P, which read out last year.
Yeah.
He's doing that one next.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You only have a few thousand samples to do deep genomics on, CTCs, and then next.
Louise keeps my job.
So happy he's coming back.
Louise keeps my job very exciting, very exciting.
But Louise, I mean, that's all very nice, but really it's just all about the PET scan, isn't it? You know, is the PET scan positive?
Actually, you might get a surprise there.
Really?
You really might get some surprises.
I'm
simple. I think the data that's coming out from Ed's work is practice changing as well. You know, we all think it's imaging, but maybe we're wrong. Maybe there's a real role for ctDNA here.
And the really important thing about this is it's not going to be all just about lutetium. You're going to uncover things within this, I'm sure, that will help us select of the multiple other options we might have for these men who have advancing cancer. You know, it's really valuable to have these cohorts.
We've got the cabazitaxel too, right? Yeah. So we've got both arms of the trial. You have ctDNA data from both arms of the trial. And yeah, super interesting.
So that'll be coming your way. But we're here at the Prostic Meeting on the eve of the Prostic Meeting. And look, there's a really good crowd here. I can't believe how many international people are here.
How many countries?
27, I hear. From a niche.
But tell me, you know, what are you looking forward to in this meeting, Louise, apart from, I'm sure, catching up with friends?
I come to these meetings to learn, right? I'll be listening to you.
Okay, well,
you're talking.
You can check your emails during that.
So many good speakers are going to be talking about all sorts of things that are going to be practice changing. You know, I think that it's this Prostic Meeting last time we were here, I just learned so much about the field, and that's what we need to do.
And it is a bit different to normal meetings where we're just looking at data or outcomes. We've been chatting to people from the Philippines, Vietnam, Spain, who've come here because they want to get their theranostics program. They know in Australia there are big centres that are doing a lot of theranostics. So I like the angle on this Prostic Preceptorship, that it's really practical. How do I get it running? How do I do the radiopharmacy? How do I do the dosimetry? How do I look after my patients? What supportive plans have we in place? So
it's practical, but it's also forward thinking. So I'm sure that Ed's not going to give a lecture on how to run a theranostic center, but they might learn heaps on why they should do trials, what we should do in terms of embedding genetics into what we do in the future. So
And we chatted to you at ESMO about ENZA-P, which was one of the big headlines, really exciting. So that paper we'll see probably this year then, or you're still waiting a little?
Definitely will. I think you hopefully will see it in the next few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting.
Fantastic.
Can't wait.
And and in fact, we're cutting for overall survival in July, at the end of July. So we should have overall survival data by the end of the year.
Fantastic. And finally, you did say you'd tell us, where are you coming back to work? I mean, you trained in a number of different Melbourne centres, including Peter Mac. Are you coming back to Peter Mac?
Still a bit hush-hush.
Really? Declan, transfer deals going through?
Time will tell. Contracts being negotiated.
All sorts of shenanigans going on. Been, join us.
I've been watching a lot of Suits. So I can get my negotiation strategies up. But, you know, Melbourne's where it's going to be. So I'm so excited to be coming back to Australia and you know, sharing some of that work and experience and learning from all the
He's so
great
diplomatic. He's clearly playing off these Champions League sides against each other for who's got the biggest contract. But it'd be nice to have you in Australia, not just Melbourne, and welcome back. And thank you, Louise.
He just has to finish the entropy samples before he leaves.
Okay, those entropy samples. She's one of your referees, I'm sure.
You have to talk to my boss about that.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So more international visitors here with us today. Juan Vallejo, very welcome to you. You're the president of the Spanish Association of Nuclear Medicine or something like that. And you've come all the way down to Melbourne for this meeting. It's great to see you.
I am very happy to be here because it's a dream for me to come into the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre to learn with the... I think that the best player in the game of the theranostic now in the world is focused in the prostate cancer.
You're far too kind. And you came up to the hospital, you came early and attended our MDT meeting. We were so happy to have you and quite a few Spanish colleagues here. It was terrific.
I think the same in Spanish, the multidisciplinary thing is the same attitude, but the landscape is very different because we don't have the access to easy for the radiotherapy, radionuclear ligands, now because the rules is very narrow, I need to expect the approval for the agency. It's very slow process, but no use as a case-to-case evaluating for each patient. I had a good result because I think it's the future, but we only use now lutetium 177. It's the only access, and radium 223 don't have the possibility to use the alpha emitted at actinium or terbium. It's different. But the idea is to make like Peter MacCallum Center. It's our focus to make in the future like this.
Fantastic. And we want to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I also want to introduce our other international guest, Danny Mina, who's traveled from Mexico to come to the meeting. You're originally Argentinian, I understand.
Yeah.
And you're a nuclear medicine physician as well. So, Danny, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Declan. For us, it's a dream. And it's a dream because being with the best is what we need.
Yep.
In Latin America, one of the biggest issues that we have is about harmonization and education, because it's pretty heterogeneous. So for now, we are trying to fix all these pieces and go forward with education with the best people giving us the support.
And look, it's these types of events are very educational. I find it very educational. But look, this is the other side of the world for you. It's very expensive to get here and so on. So can you talk to us a little bit about some of the interesting initiatives we talked about yesterday that you're doing in South America to try and help educate us in this field of nuclear medicine and theranostics?
Yeah, actually, what we are doing right now is we cover from Mexico to the Patagonia with key opinion leaders taking care of the three steps that are urology, oncology, and nuclear medicine. And with this, what we are doing right now is trying to do free access to educational programs. That is, first of all, we had a platform, a website. Then we have Twitter, of course. And after that, we are doing webinars for free to the people. And the last step for now, for this year, is the book. Because everything is in English, everything is not for Latin America people.
Yeah.
And also, it's not just about the language. It's because also we don't have enough information about the Latin American market. That is pretty different. The access is different. The molecules that we have are different. So because of that, we need standardization and education for our region. So that's what we are doing right now. And with this book, we plan to bring the best of the world to Latin America in Spanish, taking the context of what we have in Latin America.
I think that's fantastic because, of course, Spanish is such a huge language around the world, and we're getting a snapshot of it here with guests from mainland Europe, but also from South America, all Spanish-speaking. And on our podcast, we know we have many Spanish people listening from these Spanish-speaking countries, and it's a shame for us that none of us speak Spanish properly. But we have we've got a Mexican urologist who's going to come and do a fellowship with us, Danny Carlos Delgado. He came here last year for a while, but he's going to come and do a fellowship. And I said to him, you can come and spend a year with us, but you have to teach us how we're going to get GU
cast out to the Spanish community. So we're going to work with some partners to do that. But this is a really ambitious initiative. So a question I have for you is, books go out of date very quickly, right, don't they? Every time you get asked to write a book chapter, you don't see it for 2 years. But I understand this book will be an e-book or online book as well. So it'll be a constantly evolving thing. You'll be able to do electronic links out to other resources.
Actually, what we are planning to do is going to be the physical one, but we're going to have also the digital one. Yep. And everything going to be for free.
Yeah.
Because from us, we need just the support from the people and the companies that are going to support us for free, because that's the way.
But we have now the access to online resource for educational aspect in Spain. This step will be done before. We had the experience with the treated night on the green tumors. I continue with the educational program because I see the key for the future is to expand the knowledge about the radio ligand therapy and theranostic field.
But fantastic.
We had now the opportunity to acknowledge you, the war in the diffusion of this area with the serious webinar. I heard you a lot of the webinar, a very, very late time for us in Spain.
Crazy
but
time.
It's very interesting. Newly acknowledged for this initiative and continuing this line of the war, because it's very, very good for us and also for the colleagues in Latin America.
You're so right, because of course podcasting is all free. That's the nature of our podcast, certainly clinician-led, independent, and we're very well supported by industry, by pharmaceutical, radioligand therapy industry coming as well. But it's all with the same goal, one, is so that we can make these resources available for free. So I think podcasting is quite good. You know, you can put a link in, you can send an email out, you can have the website addresses and circulate it to the trainees, and because these webinars are sit there as a kind of a library of stuff, and we'd love to work closer with the Spanish-speaking community to develop some more resource. So hopefully we can all work together on these really good projects.
It's very important, this project, because the many people in our area don't understand the English.
Yes,
it's very, very important to offer the Spanish formation in language. Is very important.
And you know, as a compliment, you know, sometimes could be that part of the ecosystem of medicine, not English. But you know that we have acquisition, we have processing, we have everything about that. And many of the things that used to be simple, that just the acquisition, they don't know how to do it. So a part of what we are trying to do is, okay, this is going to be the bolus of how you can do the acquisition of the imaging, that's how you can process in Spanish and for free.
Also, the language area near to the Latin America, USA, is a lot of different for the daily practice in the Latin area.
Yeah,
it's a completely different scenario, different landscape.
Now, finally, we were talking football last night. Did you see the Champions League draw early this morning?
I think the Atletico de Madrid will retain the Champions League. But I had a dream. The Real Madrid lose the next match.
Man City and Real Madrid again. Yeah, so my son woke me up early this morning and said, look, we're going to play Atletico Madrid if we get into the semi-final. I said, I'm going to talk to one about that. That's all we have. Thanks. Great to see you guys. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Now, this final few minutes of GUcast is best appreciated on YouTube if you've been listening so far on Apple or Spotify or whatever. That's because there was a very special disco-themed dinner on the Friday night at the conference. And yes, myself and my good friend Michael Hoffman got in the swing of it, along with a bunch of other guests. So we'll hear from Michael, and we will leave you playing out with some of the highlights of the meeting if you want to watch on YouTube. Also, a special thanks to our friends at Bayer in China, who support these conference highlights throughout 2024. We certainly hope you enjoy them, and we'll be back soon with more conference highlights from the EAU meeting in Paris.
Professor Michael Hoffman, hello, Michael.
Hello.
Well,
do you recognize me?
What do we think Michael Hoffman looks like with hair? And if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, have a look at the YouTube, because you've never seen Michael Hoffman quite like this
before. I've just got to say, when I get invited to urology meetings, let's say the European urology meeting.
Yeah,
something big. They expect you to bring a tuxedo.
They do.
And here at nuclear medicine meetings, this is what we
check
do.
Check it out. This is it.
I think urology should follow.
So tonight at this dinner, we've just finished a lovely dinner. It's Bjorn again on the big screen, who are really, I think, one of the world's top ABBA tribute bands. And they're doing the conference entertainment. Hats off to you, Michael, and the nuclear medicine community.
They're supporting prostate cancer.
I think, so they're doing it as a favor.
Absolutely. We're very pleased.
Therefore, the dress code tonight, I'm afraid, is 70s. I'm loving it. I love you with hair on, Michael. You look
can I see your shoes, Declan?
Yeah. I'm a little bit unsteady, I have to say.
Wow.
I definitely feel a little bit unsteady with these. They're not even big platforms, are they? Like, they're semi. Anyway, Michael, before the music really kicks up, it's been really successful. We've chatted to quite a lot of people already. You've got about 400 people here from 20, 30 different countries. And it's like, it's not just chatting about prostate cancer, PSMA. It's like really in-depth. This is how to set up your theranostics program. And also, this is what's coming in theranostics. So what's your take home? Are you pleased with the...
We're really pleased. We hope to have 200, and we've well exceeded that. And as you said, I think we've got people from almost 30 countries, and... It's quite extraordinary. Post-COVID, There are people from Nigeria, South Africa, really way out places, and they're all really fans of what GU Oncology do at Peter Mac. They come and they're really into it.
And I have to say, I've been eavesdropping on a lot of the conversations with people who are talking about collaborating and doing trials together and what about this like. And there's a lot of like physicists and radiochemists and medical oncologists, radiation oncologists and so on. So it's kind of a melting pot for where we might go next with theranostics and prostate cancer.
Absolutely. It's exciting times. I think it's just the beginning. Sometimes we feel like we've been at this for 10 years now, I think. So we kind of feel like, is it the end of PSMA theranostics? But I think it's just the beginning of the theranostics revolution. What do you think?
Well, I think it is. But it's almost enough for that for tonight, because I think the band are about to strike up. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on the dance floor in your flares and your hair and the whole lot.
Well, thanks for coming, Declan, and supporting the preceptorship. It's been amazing.
Thank you.
So much. Take care.